Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. All right, LA, greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Mark Medina, USA Today, covers the NBA coming up at 7 o'clock. Dan Graziano, ESPN.com, covers the NFL coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. So I don't need to sit here and tell everybody how much I love, obviously, NBA basketball, how much I love Lakers basketball. But definitely today was a day that I've been promoting here for the last couple of days, at least the last week or so, where you felt, hey, maybe now it's just another step closer for the NBA and us getting a little bit of answers, and not just us, players out there. Today was the Board of Governors meeting, and a lot of things came out of it. Some ideas came out of it. Nothing by any stretch of the imagination is locked. Nothing is, you know, in concrete or stone. But if you just, you know, look at – you go on Twitter, and ESPN's obviously got the best in the business between Woj, Ramona, Zach Lowe. You get a ton of information of what some of those conversations – you don't have to be in the meetings to be privy to them. They have their connections, and that comes out to Twitter. And then we get to obviously come on here and spend a lot of time talking about some of the different nuances that came out of the meeting. So – one thing that they put out in a tweet was that there is a plan for a vote this Thursday. Woj, Ramona, and Zach Lowe, all in a number of different tweets, and then also an article on ESPN.com. Owners are largely planning to pledge support for Silver's final recommendation on a plan, which will be on Thursday, or will actually could happen this weekend, but they'll actually vote on Thursday, which teams expect to include invitations for 20 to 22 teams to resume the season. There's no lock on that. If you followed any of the NBA today, you know that there's four plans that are being discussed, but that this one, this specific plan, there seemed to be a little bit more momentum towards. And I just want to stay on that for a quick second, because There is a kind of, I guess you could say, a formula that would come out that affects the Los Angeles Lakers. So those who are listening on the app, you're driving in your car, you're paying attention to what's going on in the NBA, primarily because you're a Los Angeles Laker fan. And there is an effect for the Lakers. You know, if there's a play-in tournament, that means there's a strong likelihood that the Lakers can face a number of different teams. It doesn't mean they're just going to face the Memphis Grizzlies. And I know that seems really far down the road, and that's fair to say. You know, we could be about 60 days away from the NBA coming back. So that just kind of gives you this timeline. But I've said this, and I've spent a lot of time on this, how much I love the idea of a play-in game. So just to kind of break down the type of teams that we can see, if they go with 20 teams. So if it's 20 teams, they'll most likely, this is the assumption that I'm making, and this is the assumption specifically based off of where teams are in the standings. If they have 20 teams come back to finish the season, resume the season, they're obviously asking a lot of those lottery teams, 10 teams, they're pretty much telling them, thank you, but no thank you. You have no shot at making the playoffs, and there's no reason to have you a part of the rest of this. These would be, if you have 20 teams, that means you're adding Portland, you're adding the Pelicans, you're adding the Kings, and you're adding the Spurs. If it's 22 teams, then you're adding the Portland Trailblazers, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Spurs. And then I think the other two teams would be the Wizards and the Suns. So I'll tell you guys real quick what I'm rooting for. Out of all the play, out of all the plans that are out there, 30 teams all come back. I don't really care about that. I really honestly have no interest in that. If there are teams that have already been eliminated, have no shot at making the playoffs, is there really a reason to bring back the Atlanta Hawks, the New York Knicks, the Chicago Bulls. Does it make sense to bring teams like that back? I don't think it does, so I'm not in favor of the 30 teams. There's also another plan out there that says, okay, why don't you just come back and you start the playoffs right away? There's 16 teams that come in. Those are the ones that are locked and loaded. Forget about everybody that was on the outside looking in. It's their fault that through 63 or 64 games, they weren't in the playoff picture, and leave it at that. There's actually a lot of – I feel like there's a lot of fans that are okay with that. Just, you know, me getting a chance to interact with listeners on Twitter or on Instagram. There are also a lot of basketball fans that think, hey, just bring the 16 that were 8 from the East, 8 from the West. Let's get this playoff started and let's, you know, find a way to crown a champ. The reason why I like this 20 or 22 teams, the way I look at it, it's almost a playoff before the playoffs. A playoff before the playoffs. I just imagine for not having basketball, and we already haven't had basketball now for, I think it's been about 11 weeks. And if we're still 2 months away from basketball starting, just, you know, obviously looking at the calendar, there's a lot of chatter that at the end of July is when they would actually get the season started. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't going to be a training camp before that. There's going to be obviously a ramp up getting to that July 31st date. That's one of the dates that I saw floated around earlier today. But I will say that this concept and this idea to have a playoff before the playoffs, for fans that haven't got a chance to see basketball, for someone like myself who it doesn't really matter what game is on at what time, you throw on NBA TV and I'll watch whatever's on there. I know I'm a you know, obviously a diehard NBA fan. There might be more casual fans out there. But for sports fans who have not got that opportunity to watch sports now, you know, for almost 3 months, and I'm not saying, by the way, when I make the argument, I always want to preface this, when I'm talking sports, and I'm not saying that, you know, sports is more important than anything else going on around the world right now. I know it's not. But I'm just referencing to the sports part of things. So I never want to come off as if I'm disingenuous to what's going on in the world. Trust me, I know what's going on in the world. And, you know, hopefully as time goes on, things get a little bit better. But just talking from a sports perspective and sports fans who are out there and us seeing what did those golf ratings do with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady? They broke records. How did the NFL draft do? It broke records. How did UFC, some of these pay-per-view events that they've done? They've done amazing. I just mention all that because I know that there's this this hunger to get sports back, that a lot of these sports fans can't wait to get sports back. And with that being said, when I kind of play that scenario in my mind, and I try and kind of say to myself, what if they have a few more teams that wouldn't necessarily be there? I'd be glued to my TV set. I'd be absolutely glued to my – I'd be glued to my TV set for two reasons. Number one, basketball is back and these stars are back. And I love watching, you know, these unbelievable athletes go up against each other. Number two, it's high stakes. Everybody's fighting for this one or two spots to get into the postseason. And number three, whoever comes out of that is going to end up playing the Los Angeles Lakers most likely, who sit in the number one seed in the Western Conference. I know that could change. I know it could be different. Maybe they go 1 through 16 and that's not going to be as important because the Lakers would be technically sitting in the number two spot. But it has significance to the Los Angeles Lakers. Ramona Shelburne sent out a tweet a little bit earlier as well. Among the four plans discussed on Board of Governors call today, one in which teams that are within 6 games of a playoff spot would be invited to compete in regular season games, then a play-in tourney for the final spots, sources told ESPN. So all those teams that I named off, Portland, New Orleans, the Kings, the Spurs, the Wizards, and the Suns, those are the only 6 teams that I found that were within 6 games, like Ramona Shelburne is saying, of a playoff spot. So I just assumed those would be the ones that would get in. Now, I don't know how that works because that's 5 teams from the Western Conference, only 1 team from the Eastern Conference. But what I will tell you is that means we're watching playoffs before the playoffs. And that means for the Lakers, they could face a number of different teams and a number of different stars in round one. Let me list off some names of players that, if there's this play-in tournament, are all going to be a part of this tournament to then eventually try and face the Los Angeles Lakers in round one. Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Devin Booker, DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox. I'm not saying these are superstars, but these are exciting players. Some of them are vets, been in the league for a long time. Some of them are younger players that are just, you know, trying to get their first crack at it. Some of them have never been in the postseason. So I think there's also that curiosity of how, you know, certain players would do if they got into the postseason, how effective they would be. I don't know about everybody, you know, who's tuned in right now, what they think of a, you know, obviously this play-in invitational tournament. But I will tell you that it definitely affects the Los Angeles Lakers. And to have 20 or 22 teams that are a part of this kind of resuming the season, it gets me excited. It definitely gets me excited. And also, you know, like I've kind of emphasized all week long, the fact that we've got this far and you feel like that momentum is continuing to go, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that, you know, I'm as excited for Lakers basketball, as excited for NBA as I've been in a long time, especially because, you know, everything just stopped abruptly. And now we have potentially a plan in place over the next week or so that's going to determine what the season's going to look like. Okay, a couple more tweets that I want to read off. If you want to be a part of the show, what plan do you want to see the NBA come back with? What plan do you think benefits the Lakers most? You could feel free to call in 877-710-ESPN. Appreciate you guys tuning into the show. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. By the way, you know, stay safe out there. Interesting time in the world. So, you know, definitely stay safe. We'll do our job of, you know, talking sports. And you know, like I mentioned earlier today, the Board of Governors meeting, they're planning for a vote this Thursday. You are expecting this from Adrian Wojnarowski, Ramona Shelburne, and Zach Lowe. A lot of great tweets, a lot of great articles on ESPN.com. So if you want all the details, they're there. But you're expecting that over the weekend, recommendations will continue and eventually some kind of plan coming from Adam Silver. And, you know, one of the things that I respect so much from Adam Silver is just merely the fact that he gets everybody's opinion. I mean, Jess, have you heard that much? Like, and I know we've got that opportunity to, we've got the opportunity to hear from Mark Cuban, the owner of the Bucks. You know, I played his clip a couple times over the last couple weeks. Players, you hear to. I don't feel anybody says anything really negative about Adam Silver, and there's a reason for it. You know what I mean? Like, he just seems like he's in such control of the situation. He gets everybody's opinion. It's kind of a beautiful thing to watch. I mean, it's almost one of those where it's like it's the blueprint of leadership. And I'm not saying he's going to have best friends when this is all said and done, because I think there's going to be some fans and teams that don't like the strategy that the league takes.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because even the Cuban, he says that, yeah, the owners bicker with one another, but ultimately, you know, he calls Adam Silver a cat. Excuse the commotion here. My girlfriend forgot I'm on air.
What's her name?
Her name's Andrea. She's getting excited.
Andrea, we're live right now, Andrea. We're live.
oh, she did. I gave, you know, like the crazy hand wave, and she kind of ran back to the room. She was like, oh, she did that.
Bro, you know one of my favorite things in like this quarantine world that we're in? How many videos do you see of like people trying to be professional, people trying to, you know, they're doing it from home, some dress up, some completely don't dress up at all. It's so funny to see how different everybody is when it comes to this quarantine. And Jazz, I was just going to say, like, what are you going to do? I mean, you're literally trying to conduct your, what would be in an office is now from home. Life's got to continue at home.
Yeah, life don't stop. But I mean, I'm with you on that. I'm in sandals, gym shorts, and a t-shirt. So, I mean, If that's the worst thing that happens, I'm okay with that. I'll take that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but, no question about it.
Yes, silver. You know, and it's just, you know, it's not even that he's doing the right thing. He's listening to everyone and taking it all in, and then making a decision. And I feel like MLB is just kind of just like, okay here, okay here, okay here. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's one-sided. It's, you have the one commissioner who's very open and committed to talking with everyone and finding the right solution, and another side that's very, come on, do this already.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we got, we have Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, who was on the jump a little bit earlier. He's talking specifically about Adam Silver and the job that he's doing.
I'm sure Adam does. He'll do what he does best. He'll talk to all the different owners and get their perspective and bounce ideas off of them, get their feedback and find out their logic. And then we'll all get together, discuss it and make the decision. I mean, that's one of the great things about Adam. He's open-minded. He's willing to listen to just about anything. And, you know, he knows how to herd cats, which the 30 board of governors typically end up being.
All right. That's Mark Cuban right there on the jump. Shams Charania from The Athletic. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and the league informed Board of Governors that July 31st is a target date for return of the season. Sources tell The Athletic, Athletic NBA and the stadium. So that means in the next 60 days, the Lakers could potentially be back on the court trying to get number 17. In the next 60 days, teams could have enough time to begin working out, begin, I guess you could say, trying to gain chemistry again, work on their conditioning. 60 days from now sounds perfect. And I'll tell you what I mean by that when I say it sounds perfect. One of the concerns that, by the way, not just the players, I think media as well, I brought this up. I'm like, wait a minute, how are they just going to, you can't just come back. What are you going to do? You're just going to, you know, try and get the season back, start again. This has almost been, by the time they get basketball back, it will have almost been a full off season, like literally a full off season. So, of course, you know, the idea and the concept of returning back to basketball, it takes time. I saw Jared Dudley say on Twitter earlier today, I think he might have been responding back to Shams' tweet, that 60 days is perfect. That's a perfect amount of time. So what do the players think? Ramona Shelburne, again on Twitter, regardless of how many teams are invited, one thing the players have continuously stressed is that they don't want to go straight to the playoffs. They need time to shake the rust off for both competitive reasons and injury risk. Players want ramp-up time before starting in the postseason. And like I mentioned before, from a Laker perspective, of course they need ramp-up time. How else can you come back with probably, when it's all said and done, 4 months off without getting prep games, some kind of prep games in? It seems like obviously a very, very important, essential step. I do want to play. There are a couple clips I want to play. And just a quick reminder, we have Mark Medina, who covers the NBA, coming up at 7 o'clock. ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst was on Get Up, and this I thought was interesting, as the NBA, you know, throws all these ideas on the wall and tries to see what sticks. And I spent a lot of time, you know, to start off the show talking about how much I want to see some of these play-in games. And then I started naming off all the stars that we would get an opportunity to see before the playoffs even started. Windhorst on Get Up was talking how the NBA really wants to see a specific player in the playoffs. You can guess who that is.
So one of the things I've been hearing as I've talked to people in the league is going to set up this playoff plan to make sure Zion Williamson is involved. Now, I have to tell you, Greeny, that paranoia is at the top of the list with anything in the NBA. This is the course of my 18 years covering the league. They're always paranoid about everything. The league is screwing me, and they're helping that guy. And in this case, you know, there's a number of different reasons why the league would want to have 20 or 24 teams, a number of different reasons to get extra games. But most of those scenarios include making sure that having Zion Williamson in the postseason. And I think it's important to point out, this is not just the teams, you know, in seventh or eighth place. If you look at the Western Conference, the difference between the number 4 seed Utah Jazz and the number 7 seed Dallas Mavericks is one victory. They're very tightly packed too. And it's not just a matter of getting in. They don't want to have to win their way back in after they played, they felt like they played 65 games to get in position. And when you look at some of these proposals, it basically involves adding extra West teams and making sure the 10th place, or including at least the 10th place New Orleans Pelicans. And my feeling on this, I just laugh. Number one, I want to see Zion Williamson. So I just say, you know, whatever, I'd like to see it. Number two, like, you hear all the time, oh, they're taking care of the big markets. They want to take care of the Lakers. They want to take care of the Knicks. This is an accusation, or a concern at least, that they want to take care of the New Orleans Pelicans. That tells you, you know, where the league is in terms of paranoia.
I'm with.
Okay, so I want to just comment on this real quick. I want to see Zion Williamson. I've mentioned that name a couple times, but I don't want to see Zion Williamson just because I'm bored. I want to see Zion Williamson because they're within striking distance, and the NBA is trying to keep in consideration that there are teams that are close enough that should have an opportunity to make the playoffs. That's why I want to see Zion. Steph Curry is a fantastic player to watch, but there doesn't make any sense to have the Golden State Warriors a part of some kind of tournament in the NBA. It's just the teams that are close enough that I feel like deserve that opportunity to be there. And that's, I guess you can say, the thought process from Windhorse mentioning that, okay, Zion, they want him in the playoffs, but they want him in the playoffs because they're close enough to be there. By the way, that'd be fun. I mean, the Zion part of it, even players that are former Lakers. I mean, I'd love to see how Brandon Ingram does in a play-in tournament. You know, how Lonzo would do in a play-in tournament. And I'd love to see some of these other players that, like I mentioned, Devin Booker is a young up-and-coming player. Buddy Hield is a young up-and-coming player. So there are definitely players that we haven't got a chance to watch play on that stage, then this might be their opportunity to do it. But the one thing I will say with Cuban, and he hit on a lot of different topics, the one thing that I appreciate from Mark Cuban is he's got no problem as one of these owners to grab a microphone and say his opinion. And I guess I've took so many shots at Major League Baseball all week, and it's probably, I think in some regards, it's definitely necessary because that's how I feel. But I don't hear any owners coming out and having any comments at all when it comes to Major League Baseball, supporting their commissioner, none of that stuff. So the NBA has certainly done it right. We got Mark Medina from USA Today coming up next, obviously covers the NBA. I'll get his thoughts on everything that transpired today, what it's looking like here over the next week, his thoughts on a play-in tournament. We'll do all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. If you have anything you want me to hit on or you want to be a part of the show, you can always call in at 877-710-ESPN or hit me on Twitter at Alan Sliwa. This is The Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Happy to have Mark Medina on, covers the NBA for USA Today. Mark, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there, all things considered. It's good, but it's tough times in the world these days.
I know. It is kind of, I'll tell you, you know, we, and I know we could share the similar excitement of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the NBA. And I know that's obviously going to be a lot of our conversation here, but what a weird time, just in general, right? What a weird time. I mean, you spend any time on Twitter, any time on the news right now, it's an interesting time to say the least. Hopefully sports can be one of those mechanisms to kind of help galvanize people. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm real conflicted on that because usually sports does have a way of galvanizing things. But at the same time, you know, you got to keep the priorities where they should be, right? Where, you know, the health is the most important thing, and kind of what's going on in the news with, you know, the pandemic, people losing their jobs, you know, the racial inequalities and protests. I mean, that shouldn't be taking a back seat, and you hope that sports can be part of that solution. But, you know, I think when it comes to the pandemic, you also don't want it to be something where they're hastily getting back and putting people in harm's way. So, tough issue to say the least.
Yeah, and I think, look, there's going to be Mark Medina from USA Today joining the Sliwa Show. I think for, you know, many of these leagues, and again, just talking from a sports perspective, Mark, I think that it's going to be some trial and error, right? I mean, where you just kind of learn as you go, and you try to take the safest approach possible, and you obviously listen to health officials, but there really is no blueprint, you know? So I think there's, I think for a lot of these leagues, whatever, I've been kind of preaching this for the last couple of weeks, whatever they come up with, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's certainly in stone. It could be something that could be squashed at any moment or have to be adjusted.
Yeah, it's a good point that you raise because, you know, I've talked to people with the NBA, you know, when they had, you know, the meeting like today with the Board of Governors, they're talking about scheduling proposals, whether it's resuming the regular season or having these sort of play-in tournaments or just jumping straight to the playoffs. You know, what's been emphasized to me is, look, these are the best of bad options because, you know, there's going to be pros and cons for how the scheduling formats. So all those things are fine. But I think the thing that's tough is you certainly don't want to have trial and error apply to the health and safety of people. Like, you don't want the casualty to be actual casualties, right? So I think that's where, you know, not just the NBA, but, you know, other professional sports leagues, society at large, that's what makes it so challenging. I mean, it's one thing if it's trial and error when you're dealing with the inconvenience and the pros and cons of a schedule or just quality of play. But, you know, when lives are at stake, that's where it gets even more complicated.
So, Mark, I know obviously today I kind of had hyped this up knowing that there wasn't going to be any, you know, definitive type of answer coming out of the Board of Governors meeting. But do you think the NBA owners have any type of consensus on how they would like to move forward? Does it feel like, okay, I know there's a couple plans that have been thrown kind of back and forth, and these are ideas that Adam Silver has been very proactive on trying to get feedback from the owners, the players, and so forth. But do you think there's a consensus on one plan over the other?
No, I was told there wasn't a consensus with all the plans now. Exact feedback and how exactly each owner felt, I don't have clarity on that. Unfortunately, I haven't found a way to hack into the Zoom conference calls that the NBA is having with the owners. And if there's a way, I certainly would, because you always want to know more. But when it comes to a consensus, I've been told that there wasn't one. But that being said, I would be very surprised if there isn't a season. I think that the fact that the NBA publicly acknowledged last week that they're having talks about resuming the season with, you know, the ESPN Wide World Sports Disney Complex in Orlando, mm-hmm. and that they're saying let's try to target a restart date in late July, they want to put that out there if they didn't think it was going to happen. But it's a matter of now, you know, Adam Silver and the players union, the GMs and the owners having more talks, you know, from now until next week. And then, you know, I think the feeling is that, you know, sometime next week they'll make a decision of what the exact format will be.
You mentioned late July, and that's kind of, and I think we've seen that date floated around a couple different times now. What do you think? Just your thoughts on giving the players enough prep time, getting, you know, you don't want to just come back to basketball. You obviously also keep it in mind, are the players going to be ready? Do you want the quality of basketball to be as good as it possibly can be under the circumstances? Do you think having 6-7 weeks or so, enough prep time, does that sound like a good amount of time to try and get, you know, obviously these athletes back to a shape where they feel they could finish off the season?
Yeah, for sure. I think if you look at the calendar here, you know, next week gets into June. you know, once they announce whatever it is, there's going to be a transition period of either getting guys in each respective team back into that town so they can do their practices there, or just jump into Orlando and have practices there. So because of that, you have to almost subtract a week or a week and a half of travel logistics. But after that, you know, the feeling around the league when you talk to teams and, you know, publicly or privately, is that, you know, players are going to need at least 3 to 4 weeks to get practice time, because the reality is there haven't been any formal settings for over 2.5 months. And, you know, there might be a divide between star players, role players, of, hey, which ones have been able to still shoot at their own basket, get a full court workout in at a private facility, or ones that are just doing the Peloton bike and Zoom workouts. But regardless of that, like, none of that substitutes for actual 5-on-5 getting up and down the floor. And so, you know, I think for quality of play, injury prevention, they're going to need to have that time, and also just enough time to get used to all the requirements of, you know, all the sanitary and social distancing regulations, because, you know, a lot of these teams, they've had these voluntary workouts, and some guys have taken advantage of it, but some guys have either been out of market, or, you know, they've found they're better off just having their own workouts at their own place. So you got to account for all that time to be able to fine-tune all those nooks and crannies and adjustments before actually playing.
Mark Medina covers the NBA for USA Today, joining the Sliwa Show. Mark, all the different scenarios that are being thrown out there, I want to just get your opinion on some type of a play-in tournament. There's some teams are on the bubble. Just looking at the Western Conference, that's where you have teams more clumped together, I guess you can say. Memphis sitting in the eighth spot, but right past them, you have Portland there, San Antonio's not too far back, New Orleans and Sacramento. Those are the four teams you'd say within four games. Do you want to see some type of a play-in tournament, or do you think, you know, just based upon how many teams should come back and kind of limiting health risks, it makes more sense to just go straight to the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm in the minority here. I don't like play-in tournaments jumping into the playoffs. The reason why, and let me backtrack, like, safety is the most important thing. So if getting all 30 teams complicates that, I get it. But at the same time, I do wonder, okay, if they're thinking it's too many people, too many teams to bring into Orlando, you could make the argument that, you know, just having playoff teams are too many as well, right? But that being said, the reason why I'm in favor of let's have the regular season is the points I was making earlier, where, you know, these guys haven't been playing a lot. The basketball is going to be bad at the beginning. So why not use the regular season to serve a few purposes? You know, the playoff teams can use that time to shed the rustiness, get themselves back into shape. You know, you use the regular season to give some of the teams on the bubble ample enough of a time to make their case to make into the playoffs, where if you have a play-in tournament or a few amount of games, I mean, is that really enough for, you know, the 9th, 10th, 11th seed to get back into it? Probably not. And then the third thing is, you know, I know there might be teams like the Warriors that think, oh, why play these games? You know, it's more about Steph Curry and Draymond Green staying healthy, but you know, there's teams like the Atlanta Hawks that, hey, they're not going to make the playoffs, but they have a lot of young players, and they want to develop them. So use those regular season games to fine-tune those things. So I know it's not sexy, and it kind of goes against the grain with what a lot of, you know, writers and commentators are saying, but I'm all about salvaging the regular season because I think it'll improve the playoff product down the line.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because if, let's say, they don't do what you just mentioned, but they still want to have some type of games to just get, you know, the teams that are already locked into the playoffs some kind of prep, right? You want to have some you want to just have an opportunity to gain some chemistry, get your, you know, your wind back. It's not all going to come from practices. how are they going to do that? And I think that's a question that, you know, obviously it sounds like we're going to get some more clarity on within the next week or so. Mark Medina covers the NBA for USA Today, joining the Sliwa show. I'll ask you this, and I think this my question more probably has to do indirectly with how we're watching Major League Baseball, and we're seeing some of the struggles that they're having with just everybody pulling that rope in the same direction. Are you surprised at all how swiftly the NBA has been moving, or how united it has seemed?
Not necessarily surprised. Now, I'm not an expert with what's going on with the MLB and the Players Union. Our guy Bob Nightingale, USA Today, he's all over that. But I think with the NBA and the NHL a little bit, I think what does help is that they were already in the middle of the season, where I think for baseball, you know, they weren't starting. They were just beginning training, or, you know, the spring training. So I think because of that, there's a conversation to be had of, you know, how much money do you have to open the season, where specifically the NBA, guys were already getting paid. That's number one. But I do know directly number two is that when I talked with Michelle Roberts, you know, the executive director of the Players Union, a few weeks ago, almost a month and a half ago, philosophically, she acknowledged the reality that the fact that the CBA isn't expiring until the end of the 2023-24 season, it makes it a lot easier. If they're on the heels of, hey, this is the CBA about to be expired, there may have been some more contentiousness back and forth between the Players Union and the league office. But I think to the NBA's credit, to the Players Union's credit, is philosophically, I think that they've had a collaborative approach. They know the reality of a few things, that, you know, people that are much in less fortunate position than they are, you know, losing a lot of money and their lives are at stake. So they're well aware and have been willing to make some of the financial sacrifices. You know, the executive folks, including Adam Silver, took a pay cut. The Players Union accepted a pay cut for their players. And I think on top of that, because of how Adam Silver's leadership style is, where he's very open, collaborative, he wants to hear the players' input, that has made it, I think, a recipe for a really good partnership. And so I think with that, that's helped ameliorate some of the self-interest from all the parties, but also it's a little bit by design that they haven't had to be in a position to negotiate because the CBA isn't expiring.
Mark Medina covers the NBA for USA Today, joining the Sliwa show. Mark, this has been just part of the conversation, and I think this is going to come anytime you have anytime, I guess, you're in a predicament where the season doesn't go exactly how it always should go. But this is a very unusual circumstance for not just sports, not just the country, but the entire world. Do you pay any attention when people say, oh, you know, this season's going to have an asterisk, or however you finish it off, it doesn't matter because you didn't play a full 82 games and it wasn't the regular structure? Do you pay attention to that, or is your mindset on this whole thing is no one can control the circumstances and the NBA is just trying to find a way to complete what it started?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been – I always pay attention to what's going on in the league. I strongly disagree. I wrote a column this week arguing that, you know, whoever wins the NBA championship shouldn't deserve an asterisk. If anything, they should deserve an explanation point, because this season has been more challenging than anything any team has experienced in the history of the NBA because of this pandemic. And so, you know, whoever wins, I think, you know, obviously talent always goes into play, but I'm sure it'll be a reflection to some degree of which team was able to do what, you know, Clippers coach Doc Rivers has talked about, of winning the weight, of, you know, who have been able to stay disciplined with some of these workouts, and, you know, how they've been creative with them given the limitations. How disciplined have they been with, you know, with their diet and eating, and also, you know, maybe some of their mental health exercises with mindfulness and sleeping. I think all those things will go into play and, you know, might be able to offset some of the inevitable sluggishness and rustiness we'll see off the bat, because these guys haven't been playing in a formal setting. That being said, you know, I did talk to a former NBA player earlier this week, who's now in the college coaching ranks. And his point that he made to me was, look, like, if there is a star player that all of a sudden gets a freak injury or, heaven forbid, gets affected with COVID-19, I mean, there, I think, could be there, that could be a fair argument of, hey, like, does this deserve an asterisk? But I think at the end of the day, like, that could happen to anyone. And, you know, assuming everyone's going to be able to be healthy, if assuming this season resumes, all the things that teams have had to deal with during the shutdown, I don't think that should be held against any team whatsoever.
Mark, really appreciate the time, man. It's great to get your insight, obviously, as we sit here and kind of wait for some more answers in the NBA. It's great to have you on to chat about the latest with the league.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, man. It was a joy being able to hear your voice and talk
to you
for a little bit.
All right, that's Mark Medina right there. It's good to, you know, you get so accustomed to seeing these people on a game-to-game basis, and then all of a sudden that is completely gone. Obviously, that's been the story over the last couple of months. Okay, so when we come back, kind of an interesting take here from ESPN NBA broadcaster Jeff Van Gundy on GetUp. So he gave some predictions. Who he thought, if the season came back, would win an NBA championship, who would come out of the Western Conference. Definitely want to spend some time on that. I think Laker fans will be interested to hear his answer. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, good stuff from Mark Medina. Good stuff just from the NBA in general. As we kind of make that transition to where we'll get the details of what's going to happen this year, what's going to happen in the season, and then eventually we get to have that conversation more about, okay, who are the favorites coming in, what matchups would be there. I know that that's something, you know, me specifically, I'm looking forward to. And just even kind of forward thinking and saying to myself, how good the playoffs are going to be. The championship this season, at least to end the year, it will kind of be up in the air. You're going to have your favorites, but I think just nobody knows how players are going to come back. Nobody knows who's going to be in the best shape, I guess you could say. Nobody knows who can regain some of that chemistry. So I don't really feel like there's a clear-cut favorite. And I think that – and I say that, of course, you know, the Lakers are – one of a few teams that are going to be one of the favorites, but it's not like there's a clear-cut favorite. What I mean by that is if the Lakers won a championship, I don't think that'd be a shock or a surprise. Well, what if the Bucks won it? Would that be a shock or surprise? No, they have the best record in the NBA. They're a damn good team. If the Clippers won it, is that a shocker? Again, I don't think it's a shocker, even if the Clippers won it. Jeff Van Gundy, who obviously ESPN NBA broadcaster, was on Get Up this morning and gave his reasoning and just his thoughts on who he thinks is going to win the whole thing this season.
I thought Milwaukee was going to win it. I think they had the best combination of defense and offense and star player. I think they also, with the East, had the easiest path to the finals and were not going to be challenged very strongly by anybody in the East. Now, to me, it really, I have no idea after 4 months. This is, to me, Mike, this is a whole different season that we have coming up. The 19-20 season, it's done. It's completed. All we're bringing forward is our record and our rosters. But you don't know how fearful individual players are going to be. You don't know what they've been able to do. You don't know, particularly coming back like this, about injuries. There are so many variables that this is a whole new season, and I have no idea of what to expect, nor what the rules are and what the format's going to be.
That's an interesting take. You know, he thought the Bucks would win it before, before the season stopped and is postponed, and we're trying to obviously get the season back. But he thought the Bucks were going to win it. But it's an interesting take to say, yeah, whatever happened, forget about it. Don't even think about it. That's why, you know, when I sit back and I say I feel this is up in the air, I think there's some truth to that. I really do. I feel like whoever you thought was the leader of the pack before, and I've said this many a times on the station, I most definitely have thought that the Lakers before everything abruptly stopped and after that loss to the Brooklyn Nets, I thought the Lakers were the team to beat. Their weekend prior to that, with what they did against the Bucks, what they did against the Clippers, it's not uncommon to think that, okay, that was the popular pick because it was trending in the Lakers' direction. Van Gundy thought it was the Bucks, but to look at this remainder of the season, when it does come back, kind of as a completely different year. He said the 2019-2020 season is over. This will be just a different season. Yeah, that's an interesting take. That's an interesting way to look at it. I never really thought of it that way, to be honest. And if you do look at it from that perspective, there's also other things that are going to, determine that. What I mean by that is there's going to be a format that could play, have some type of advantage for one team. That World Cup, or no, the 1-16 format, you saw Milwaukee and the Clippers would be in the same bracket. It benefited the Lakers. If you just stay 1-8, that means the Lakers and the Clippers have to face each other at some point to then face the Bucks. That benefits the Bucks. So I could see how whatever you were looking at before is now completely different. And I could see how Van Gundy is thinking in his mind. You just got to kind of erase the script that was there because that script is over. One more I want to play from Jeff Van Gundy. He believed before the stoppage of play that the Clippers were actually the team to beat in the West.
Well, it's hard to bet against LeBron and Anthony Davis, but I do think the Clippers have the best built roster for long-term playoff success. I love their team. I love how Lawrence Frank and Doc Rivers have put that thing together. And I think they are a terrific, terrific team. And what was interesting is if that would have been a Western Conference final, home court to me, obviously, if it was between those two, would have had no bearing. I mean, think about it. You have no advantage, really. You're playing in the same arena for 2 weeks. It would have been absolutely fascinating to see a Western Conference final competed in the same arena for 7 games.
You know, this is going to actually lead me to my next point. And I disagree with Van Gundy on this, that there wasn't a home court advantage. Of course there was a home court advantage. There was an incredible home court advantage. The home court advantage was, you know, for those that watched that last Clippers home game that Sunday before the season got canceled, trust me when I say a 7-game set versus the Clippers at Staples Center would have been a huge advantage for the Lakers. Think about how There's multiple circumstances. There's multiple reasons for that. Number one, we know it's a Laker town. Okay, that part you got. Number two, Lakers haven't been to the postseason in 6 years. 6 straight years the Lakers didn't make the playoffs. So you do have a ton of Laker fans right now that were chomping at the bit to get into Staples Center come playoff time. And if the playoffs were going to unfold where the Lakers and the Clippers would face each other in the Western Conference, you're going to tell me that when it's a Clippers home game, that wouldn't be predominantly Laker fans? Of course it would. Of course it would. If you watch that game in March, Lakers-Clippers, that was probably a very, very good it was a good preview of what was going to happen in the postseason. If not, there'd be more Laker fans by the time the postseason came. Because now if you're in the Western Conference Finals, you're one round away from getting to the finals. Laker fans would be coming from every direction that you could think of. A home court advantage would have been huge for the Lakers. I mentioned this last week, and it actually it will be a good transition. But I mentioned this last week. I think if there's one team this will benefit by not having any fans and playing in Orlando is probably the Clippers. The Clippers can benefit the most from, I guess you could say, kind of will balance itself out, because now all of a sudden the Clippers don't have to worry about fans. It's the Lakers that are technically losing home court advantage. It's the Lakers where, excuse me, that fan base would have completely, completely paid off in the long run for the Lakers. First of all, they were the number one team in the Western Conference, so it would have helped them. And number two, you play a seven-game set against the Clippers, you're going to have, obviously, predominantly Laker fans that are at that arena. So this new format, when it's set and when games start back up in Orlando, will benefit the Clippers. Even the Milwaukee Bucks, it's going to hurt them. The Bucks would have been a tough place to play on the road. A lot of these teams that had great home court advantage, it's going to hurt them. But it's not going to hurt them more than the Lakers, and it's probably going to hurt the Bucks. But for the Clippers, they kind of come out of this like, well, we now don't have to worry about another team's fan base, at least against the Los Angeles Lakers. So that probably helps the Clippers equalize things a little bit. Let's do two things here when we come back. I want to stay on these fan bases because Melvin Gordon, former Charger, now a Denver Bronco, says he's prepared with no fans. I'll tell you what he's talking about when we come back. And this is obviously referring to NFL in the fall and in the winter, most likely not having fans anyways just because of COVID-19. We'll do that coming up next. This is The Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of The Sliwa Show.